So today I would like to look for us to look at a very well-known parable. It's in the New Testament in 3 to 4 Gospels, the parable of the sower. This parable is found in Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4, and also Luke chapter 8. Before we begin our study of it, I'd like to mention two things. First of all, what is a parable? It's a short story of commonly known things that are used as an analogy or a comparison to convey a truth or a moral. Often, though, without an explanation or an interpretation, they remain hidden or not understood. The Lord Jesus used it many times in the Gospels. Secondly, I'd like to set the stage for this parable, that when Jesus speaks it to the multitudes. Is it a time when the Lord Jesus Christ is in the land of Galilee? He's teaching and preaching. He's doing miracles. And his fame is spreading beyond Galilee. It's going into Judea and into Jerusalem. Great multitudes are gathering together at this time to hear and see him. Some with good motives, some with false motives, like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who are actually coming to him sometimes to accuse him of being a lawbreaker. Also, at this time, they're planning and plotting against him. And is it at this time that Jesus begins to speak to the multitudes in parables? Now, let us look at the parable itself. I'll be reading, first of all, the first 9 verses in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 from the New King James Bible. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." The story seems very simple and clear. The sower goes out, or some versions say the farmer, he sows the seed. It falls on four different types of ground. He has two results. The only strange thing about this story that I would like to point out is it seems that the farmer, he seems to let the seed fall all over the place. It looks like a paradox in good farming, to which I'd like to address later in the message. Many of you have already heard this parable and heard the interpretation given in the scriptures here, which we'll be looking at. But I wonder if you could just imagine hearing this parable for the first time, just this part what I read. Or maybe there is some here today that are hearing it for the very first time. It would seem to be a bit strange. You might think, what does it mean? What does Jesus mean with this farming story? What does it have to do with his teachings? What is he trying to tell the multitude? For that matter, what does he desire to tell us today? Well, he wouldn't be alone in that question, for his disciples were also asking about it. Next verse, verse 10, it says, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And what's strange is he doesn't explain the parable right away in detail about the meaning of the different parts of the parable, but he tells of the purpose and meaning of the parable. And it becomes understood as these details are explained, plus the great significance of this parable. Let's look at verse 11 through 13. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? So we can see that understanding this parable is essential for understanding the other parables. So it's essential for us to understand other things of the Word of God. So it is a very important parable. Now let's go into the interpretation, the explanation of the parable. Verse 14, he says, the sower sows the word. This parable is also, as I mentioned, is in the book of Luke's gospel, and his version says, the seed is the word of God. And so we see that he's not talking about the seed that the farmer is sowing on the field, but it's the word of God itself. Verse 15, we can understand what this ground or soil is that he's talking about. I'll read it. Verse 15, it says, these are the ones by the wayside where the word of God, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So we see that the soil, the ground that the word is sown, is actually the hearts of men. It's the hearts of the hearers of the word of God. Luke goes on to say in this parable, lest you should believe and be saved. We can see that the word of God produces saving faith. And so this is a very important parable, as I mentioned. And so I would call these careless hearers of the word. This word comes, they hear it, they receive it, yet they take no care and understanding or seeking what it means. Careless hearers. He goes on in the next two verses. Verse 16 and 17 to talk about the second type of soil. The hearts of the hearers are they that hear it and immediately receive it. It says here, likewise, the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately rejoice in it and with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. These are the ones that they hear the word, they receive it. It's more like they receive a guest into their home. They entertain it, that they find it good, but it finds no place to stay there and to live and to germinate. As soon as the word of God comes and trouble comes, then they fall away. They're offended, they stumble. I would call these superficial hearers. There's no root there, it says. I ask myself sometimes, is this referring to what Jesus said in the book of Revelation when he said, I am the root and the offspring of David, the rising morning star? They have no root, so when the sun, the trouble comes, they wither away, they're scorched. It's sort of like fair weather Christians. When all is going well, it's good, but as soon as trouble comes because of the word of God, because of the Christian profession, they're gone. Superficial hearers are these. Verse 18 and 19 gives us the third type of ground, the third type of heart that is where the seed falls. It says this, now these are ones that sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The word comes in, it begins to sprout up, and yet something comes along. The thorns, as it says, are the cares of the world, the cares of this life come in, deceitfulness of riches, desire of other things, and it comes and chokes the word, makes it unfruitful. I would call these distracted hearers. They let things come in the way, whether it be pleasures, riches, or just other things that they would like to do instead of hearing the word of God. There's a good illustration of this in the New Testament, in Luke's gospel, or for that matter, the other gospels. Luke's gospel is in chapter 18, the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus asking about eternal life. How can he receive it? Jesus tells him, and yet his riches hinder him from following Jesus. He's distracted by the deceitfulness of the riches he has. And so these are the distracted hearers. In verse 20, we read of the fourth type of soil, which it says, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. These are the hearers that receive the word. They accept it. They acknowledge the word as true. They believe it. They receive it and recognize the truth of the word. They are the soil that seems to yield the word access into their hearts. Luke's version of the parable says, those that hear the word with an honest and good heart keep it and bear fruit with patience. That is the heart that responds in sincerity and in truth and uprightness. There's an honesty here. There's a nobility of receiving the word for what it says and holding it fast in their hearts. Now the meaning of the parable becomes clear. It's not merely a farming story. It has to do with how we respond to the word of God. The meaning is for the word of God to be productive in your life and to produce salvation in your soul. It's dependent upon the heart attitude of how you respond to it. How you respond to the gospel will determine whether you receive God's salvation or not. So it's a very sobering thought. I would like to mention a very strong contrast as to the result of the word being responded to in Proverbs 13, in verse 13. There it says, he that despises the word will be destroyed, But he that fears the commandment will be rewarded. This seems to be something on the scale of 1 to 10. He despises the word will be destroyed. But he that fears it, the other response, will be rewarded. How you respond to the word of God will ultimately have eternal consequences. The parable of the sower is like a wake-up call. It's a challenge to examine how we hear the word of God, what our response is to it, and not to be careless or superficial or distracted hearers, but to be ones who hear with sincere and true hearts. I would like for, as we close this study, to mention what I said earlier about the unorthodox farming method of the sower. He just seems to let the seed go everywhere. Is he being wasteful? I don't think so. If not, how can he be so extravagant with this precious seed? My take on it, or interpretation of this, is a message of hope, I think. He sows it everywhere, even places where no one would think it would produce fruit, because he knows the power of the gospel and the potential of the word of God to produce fruit. I speak from personal experience. As a child going to church with my mother, I was a careless and superficial hearer. Yes, I heard the things from the Bible. I believe them, but they had no part in my life. They had no fruit-producing element to it. I was careless and superficial. Then, as a rebellious young man, I was distracted by the things of this world, other things that I desired to do, and the Word of God could not find place to grow or take germinate in my heart. But it was when I began to, I worked with a fellow worker who was a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He sowed the seed. It was at this time that I humbled my heart, yielded to the gospel, and it took root. It sprang up and brought forth fruit to the glory of God. And in my state before that, you would have thought, this is a very unlikely candidate for salvation. And I think there are many here today that we have the same testimony. And there are many in the scriptures that also bear witness to this. So praise God for an extravagant sower. Therefore, I'd like to close with the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 8. This is follows the parable of the gospel in his gospel. He says in verse 18, Therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even that which he seems to have, will be taken from him. May our heart's prayer be as that of young Samuel in the Old Testament, as he prays to the Lord and says, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this parable. We're thankful for what it means. Help us to be alert how we receive your word. Help us to wake up to what we hear and to receive it into good hearts, into faithful hearts, humble hearts. May it bring forth fruit to your glory and honor. And we pray your blessings upon the preaching of your word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen.